now it's time for Dr. Arne Buss. You know, Dr. Arne Buss received his undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and his PhD from Cornell. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. He's also been teaching and facilitating interpersonal communication classes for the past 6 years. He facilitates individuals and couples with their interpersonal communication issues. He's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. And in addition, in 2011, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. Now, Dr. Buss joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the first and third Thursday of each month at 5:35 p.m. Let's listen to Arne Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Well, thank you, Solazar, and welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I am your host for this segment, Arne Buss, as Solazar said. Speaking of Listening is all about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your heart. And it's all about communication. And regardless of whether Mercury is in retrograde or not, you can always choose to communicate from your heart. And as long as you do that, then whatever other factors are going on, you can take care of it. Now, remember that listening is not just about hearing what the other person is saying. It's much, much more. It's about engaging the other person in a dialogue, a dance, if you will. And as I like to say, Ginger Rogers once said that she had to do everything Fred Astaire did, only she did it backwards and in heels. And so it is with heart-centered listening, except you don't have to wear heels. Now, just to recap the last time that we shared, or I shared, and we is the royal we, perhaps, talked about not taking things personally. Basically, what the second agreement is, something I like to summarize as Q-tip, or quit taking it personally. Not playing ain't they awful with others, the importance of staying conscious in all your communication. Now, today I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to talk about how to set a limit or how to say no with love. And there are two structures I'm going to talk about for this. One is what I call the 1-2, and then the other is the 1-2-3-4. Why? Because sometimes you need a little bit more. So let me first talk about how to set a limit or how to say no with love. And it's the with love part that's very key. It can be straightforward to just simply say no and put up walls, but to do it in such a way that maintains the relationship requires a little bit more skill, and it requires a lot of the kind of heart-centered listening and validation with tracking that I've been talking about on this segment. Now, the context today is that the other person initiates a request. They ask something of you, and you are clear that what is being asked or what is being said is not acceptable. In other words, you're not going to agree with this. So let's talk about some don'ts when that happens. And you know, this may not happen to you very often, but trust me, it happens. When somebody asks something of you, maybe somebody close, maybe somebody who's not so close, and it is not okay with you. You're absolutely clear about that. So here are some don'ts. The first don't is possibly the most important, and that is don't say yes when you mean no. Saying yes when you mean no is, well, it's not being authentic, it's not being honest, and it just leads to problems and resentments. Because if think of when you ask somebody something and they say yes, but then they either don't do it or they resent you for having to do it. That doesn't help the relationship, and that's not something that you really want. And so I think it's fair to assume that the person who's asking you, the person making this request, wants a yes to be a genuine yes. Now, obviously, if they're asking, then a no is going to be more disappointing to them than a yes. But I think for an authentic relationship, it's better to have your yes mean yes and your no mean no. I would much rather be clear and a little disappointed by hearing a no than if I hear a yes and then it turns out that, well, the yes didn't really mean it. So don't say yes when you mean no. Don't argue. Don't defend or justify. You know, and don't be a parent. You know, in other words, if you feel that it's unreasonable, don't judge or criticize the other person. Don't try to shame them for, you know, how can you ask this of me? No, don't go there, and don't allow yourself to be manipulated. You know, many times you might say no to begin with, and then the other person starts arguing and manipulating. You know, children, for some reason, turn out to be expert at this from a very early age. Okay, so now here are some do's, some things to do. First of all, validate yourself. Validate your own right to your point of view. So if something is not okay with you, if you're not willing to follow what the request is, then you have an absolute right to do that and just really own that. And then also respect the other person's right to their point of view, even if it's different than yours. If they're asking for something, and whether you think it's reasonable or not reasonable, they have a right to, you know, to ask. See the other person as okay and see yourself as okay as well. That's so important. And I know it can be a cliche about I'm okay, you're okay, and all that kind of stuff, but I think it's really important. You know, in other words, if you see the other person is not okay, then the dialogue is just going to go downhill, no matter how skillfully you may think you're putting the words together. And likewise, if you see yourself as not being okay, then at some point it's just not going to go very well. You may find yourself agreeing to something that's not acceptable just to make the other person, you know, think of you as someone who's nice. So, and it's worth seeing if the request could be a reasonable one. Maybe your first reaction is to say no, but it's worth it considering. You know, you might be able to say yes. If you can say a genuine yes, then of course say yes. But say yes only if and only if you can do so with 100% enthusiasm. And as a teacher of mine once liked to say, with the joy of a young child feeding ducks. So be clear about your no, but don't state it as such. And I'll talk about ways that you can say no with love without saying the word no. You know, some examples that might happen, you know, let's say it's a school night and your teenage daughter wants to take the car out late with her friends, and you're not okay with that. Maybe the last time she took it out, it wasn't, things didn't turn out so well, or maybe her grades in school aren't doing so well, or just maybe she's at an age where you just don't want her gallivanting around on her own. Again, the reason almost doesn't matter, but you know, as a parent, then you have a right to say no to that. And yet, anybody who's had teenagers knows that there's going to be fighting and manipulation and all kinds of other things. And the beauty of what I'm trying to present here is that that can often cut through all that. Other things, you know, you have a coworker, and the coworker wants you to cover for him, but you know, but you're not okay with that. You don't have the time, or it would cut into your schedule, or you just have other things you want to do, or you just don't feel like doing it. Or, you know, it might be just something like, you know, somebody insults you. You know, say, oh, you're so stupid. Well, you know, that's what many people teach is, okay, that you immediately try to set a limit from that. And what I'm going to talk about with my 1-2 is that instead of immediately setting the limit, that you first track and then set the limit. A friend might try to guilt trip you. You know, oh, you just don't care about me if you're not willing to do it. Or maybe your significant other tries to guilt trip you. Like, you know, if you really love me, then you would do this. Well, you know, even in the most intimate relationships, you have a right to say no. You have a right to your boundaries. Okay, so let me talk about what I call the 1-2. And the one is to track and validate them first. That's the one. The two is to state your limit. And the reason that the two comes after the one is that once you've tracked and validated them many, many times, they're open to hearing your limit. The problem that I see time and time again about stating your limit right away is that if they're trying to get their needs met or their perceived needs met with this request right off the bat, then they're not going to be as open to hearing your limit. The power of this is that by tracking them first, by validating them until they feel heard, then they're going to be more open to hearing your limit, and you can state it in a way which is gentle but firm. So, tracking and validating in response to this unacceptable request. Now, remember that tracking only uses the you pronoun. Now, be careful here. Don't turn a tracking statement into a you statement. A tracking statement validates. A you statement blames. So we want to validate, but we don't want to blame. You know, I'll give some examples in a little bit. But a blaming statement was, oh, you're always bugging me about doing something, or you're always asking these unreasonable things. That's a you statement. That's a blaming statement. That is not validating. But remember that validating is not agreeing. When you a lot of people are afraid that if I validate them, then they think I'm saying yes. And that is not the case. It is acknowledging their thoughts and feelings. It's giving validity to those thoughts and feelings, but it's not saying that you're agreeing to the request. So possible feelings that they might have to validate. Well, first of all, validate their desire to have what they're requesting. You know, it's if somebody wants something, then it's perfectly reasonable that they want it. Now, just because they want it doesn't mean that you're going to give it to them. Or validate their disappointment if they don't get it. You know, or maybe the request is coming from a place of disappointment. And again, if that's what shows up, then validate that. Just in general, whatever feelings and thoughts are coming up, those are the ones that you validate. And use gentle challenges whenever appropriate. And remember that a gentle challenge, which I've talked about before, it points out an incongruity without beating them over the head. So it helps them, it helps wake them up. It helps them kind of see that maybe what they're asking is not the most reasonable thing. So one, track and validate until they feel heard, which is indicated through by a lookup. In other words, or you, a lot of times you just see an auto, a very conscious and obvious. It's almost a release of energy. You know, it's like they feel heard. But then two is to state your limit or what is unacceptable to you. So ideally, you validated them to a lookup. They feel heard and understood to the point where they really don't have any more to say about it. A lot of times when somebody keeps going on and on about something, it's because they don't feel that they've been heard. And once they feel heard, then a lot of times there's really not much more to say. And then state your bottom line. That's the two. But keep your voice gentle but firm. And one trick, or if you will, or one way to really convey your resolve, your firmness, is to say with it with a gentle but firm voice and drop your pitch at the end of the sentence. And that communicates clarity of purpose and resolve. And again, hopefully there'll be some examples coming forth. And if the dialogue has been initiated with a criticism, like, you know, oh, you're stupid, then the two is stating something which is not acceptable, and state a limit about that. Again, do not do that until you have tracked them down to the lookup. So let's say, you know, so a coworker wants you to cover from, hey, you know, hey, Arnie, you know, I really need to take off early today. Can you, you know, I know it's time for you to leave, but can you cover me here? And I want to go home. And so I might value, you know, so you're having a hard time maintaining, you know, the work that you have to do, and you feel it necessary to, you know, to leave early. Yeah. And you know, and so you feel that it's a reasonable request. Well, yeah. I mean, I would cover for you in the same situation. So at this point, then, you know, state your limit. You know, and I wish I felt comfortable doing this. And since it's going to be time for me to go home, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to do it. Another scenario: an acquaintance says, "You know, you're so stupid." Now, again, like that, that's obviously unacceptable, and that's not the kind of things that in a good relationship you want to allow to happen. But in that moment, the other person is just, they're unconscious when they're doing that. So, you know, you're so stupid. You know, okay, now, why are they saying that? You probably have no idea. So here's where you would use a gentle probe, you know, so there's something that you're noticing that you disagree with. Well, yeah, you know, you said this thing, and I think it's totally stupid. Ah, so then you heard something that you vehemently disagree with. Well, yeah, and then at this point, you know, I could say, you know, and I don't mind having things pointed out. I'm not okay with being called stupid. So things like that can be used to respond and also set a limit. And now, here's where the 1, 2, 3, 4 comes in. In many cases, restating the limit that way is effective in kind of reaching a point of resolution. The point of resolution is that, you know, the other person hasn't gotten what they want, or in the case of them calling you a name, you know, you've put them on notice that's not okay, and yet you've also validated the, you know, what has initiated it. So in other words, a lot of times people don't know how to express things, and so they express it in a way which is blaming, you know, like you were stupid, and that's not, you know, that's not an acceptable way to talk to each other. Unless it is. If it is, then, you know, I'm stupid, you know, you want to see stupid, look in a mirror, you know. But again, that doesn't really lead to a conscious, heart-centered relationship, which is what we're all looking for. Now, on rare occasion, the 1-2 is not sufficient, so you get more resistance. So sometimes there's additional resistance after setting the limit. So the 3 is to return to tracking. In other words, you track the resistance, and usually at this point you're tracking in a slightly different context. Remember that you first validated their initial request and what was going on for them. You've then set your limit and basically said no with love, but and then what they might try to do is they might try to talk you out of the no. They might try to talk, you know, again, they might bring up all the manipulative techniques that were mentioned before. They might, you know, oh, if you really cared about me, you'd do this, or, oh, you're just, you know, you're just being selfish, and other types of attempts at manipulation. So 3 is, again, when they're like that, that means they've gone unconscious again. And so it's a return to tracking, but in a little different place. You're not willing to track them quite so long, and that's the 3. The 4 is just restating the limit in a final way. Usually this involves mostly gentle challenges, and the thing is that having set the limit, to hear them arguing about the limit now is, you know, some gentle challenges you might be saying, or for example, so you're going to find it difficult to accept, or so you're going to find it hard, you know, so you're going to find it hard to get things covered for your job, or so you have no other way to get what you want. So another thing is tracking guilt trips. So you don't care about me. So you feel that this is because of lack of caring. Or so you wish you'd heard a different answer. Remember, Q-tip, don't take it personally, second agreement. Now the four is to restate the limit with gentle firmness, or again state what is unacceptable. So restating the limit might sound like, and I'm afraid that that's my choice. Or another phrase that I like to use sometimes is, I wish I felt comfortable agreeing to that, and I don't. Another might be, and since this is my final decision, I don't wish to discuss this any further. Again, that puts a period to it. But again, that doesn't come at the beginning. It doesn't come at a time when they're unconscious. It comes at a time after you've tracked and validate them. Or if they've said something, that is unacceptable, you might say something like, well, I don't mind having mistakes pointed out to me. I'm not okay with being called stupid. Or it might be, since I do love you, I would like to not have that be called into question when I'm unwilling to fulfill a request. So that is how to set a limit with the 1-2 or the 1-2-3-4. And this has been Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. Thank you for joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every first and third Thursday at 5:35 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more about effective listening and much, much more in my workshops on effective communication and relationship building, you can email me at ahbuss at consciousawareheart.com. That's consciousawareheart, all one word. You can like me on Facebook at awareheart, and follow me on Twitter at effect5com. That's two M's. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Arnie Buss for sharing all of that information. That was really powerful. By the way, I've got a question for you. So do you have any workshops coming up in the next month or so for those people to really get engaged and start working with this material? Or do you have any other presentations that they might be able to see instead of just waiting for you on the first and third Thursday?
Yeah. I am currently in the process of trying to schedule some workshops in October and November, but I have not firmed them up yet. So I will hopefully have more information on my next show.
Okay, well, and I appreciate your reference back to Mercury retrograde, but I'm just going to have to tell everybody they're screwed till they can get the workshop. No, not true. I think the enjoinder that anytime you're trying to talk from your heart and it's about understanding, not being understood, I mean, that's just a powerful lesson we all have to keep in mind. It's really not about us. It's about the other person for connection. So,
absolutely, absolutely.
But, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you the first Thursday of October. This is Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for joining. And we'll be back tomorrow night. Dr. Buss will be back the first Thursday of the month. Have a great evening.